You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May God use and overrule my words. May God's word only be spoken, God's word only be heard. Amen. Really glad to be here with you today. I brought you a reading from the Gospel according to John. The Samaritan woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty." Well, many years ago, before seminary, I was a college administrator. I think you just mentioned that, in Montgomery, Alabama. And the job required me to be in the public arena all the time. And I was brand new in that fishbowl. And I had a young daughter, and I was a single mom. And I found myself dressing up to go to the grocery store, afraid of who I might encounter. Maybe someone who would judge my jogging clothes. I had very little time away from the job, and so I instinctively began to avoid people, especially when I was not at the office. I moved to an unknown, lesser known, less trendy neighborhood. I migrated out of town for extended days off. I shopped at off hours. I generally developed a low profile wherever I could. It's kind of embarrassing now to look back on it. I imagined many rejections and exposures that might never have happened. And I only by looking back can I understand it better. Maybe I was reliving my childhood wounds, or maybe I was looking for ways to step out of my role as a leader of a college and maybe find places where I could just be a mom, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a woman, a child of God. Maybe I was looking for a place where I could be more fully known. And that leads me to this reading of the Samaritan woman. You know, John's gospel is full of all kinds of intimate encounters. Jewish leader Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. A condemning crowd walks away, and Jesus and the woman caught in adultery are left alone. Jesus knows Nathanael's origins before he has actually met him. Mary anoints Jesus' feet. Jesus washes the disciples' feet and calls them his friends. An encounter with Jesus is never superficial. Enter the Samaritan woman and the unlikely meeting at Jacob's well. In a culture where only men can initiate marriage or divorce, she's been married 5 times, thrown away 5 times, and or maybe her husbands have died. Yet in a culture where women draw water in order of social status, instead of looking for morning water, she is there at high noon. Predictably alone. He's a Jew, she's a Samaritan, an enemy of Jews. He's a rabbi, she's a woman. She has no reason to expect him to consider her, respect her, or even talk to her. Yet Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink of water," and her answer sounds challenging. "How is it that you, a Jew, want a drink from a woman of Samaria?" he says. Jesus begins to reveal himself to her. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water," he says. Jesus draws her into a theological, symbolic conversation, which he engages freely. It's the longest talk Jesus has with any person in any gospel. In it, she learns that Jesus is none other than the Messiah himself. But notice that as he tells her who he is, she reveals herself too. I'm guessing she wasn't planning on talking about her marital history with a stranger. It was her special and maybe painful secret. The dictionary says a secret is something that is separate, apart from other knowledge. A secret is something that separates us from others, ourselves, and even God. I discovered a website called postsecrets.com. It was started as an art project in the early 2000s, and people are invited to send in a postcard with a secret written on it. And the rules are that the secret has to be anonymous, and it has to be something you've never shared with another person. And the webmaster posts the secrets he receives every Sunday, and readers are free to comment. The secrets range from funny to tragic. They read like this: "I go to Sephora and freshen up my makeup every afternoon, and I never buy anything. In high school, I was so desperate for a boyfriend, I dated a guy who went to Star Wars conventions, and he dumped me. I spent so many years trying to appear strong that when I finally gave up and attempted suicide, only God could save me, and he did. I had an affair. We stopped before we got caught, but I miss her. I watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in a mental hospital. When things go well for me, I have to wreck my life all over again. And here's one: I don't go to church because I'm afraid." I have noticed in John's gospel that when Jesus encounters people intimately, sometimes there's an implicit secret operating. Like when Jesus asks Philip where to buy food for the big hungry crowd, and Philip says, "6 months of wages won't buy enough food," Philip's secret might be, "I want to run away rather than help." When the Pharisees stone the sinful woman, maybe their secret is, "We love feeling superior." When Peter denies Jesus 3 times, his secret is, "I think my faith always loses to fear." We all have secrets. The Samaritan woman has a secret that she is ashamed of too. Everyone around her looks down on her, and maybe she's afraid they're right. Yet unlike Nicodemus, a man, a Jew, a respected religious professional who comes at night, she comes to Jesus at high noon. But the passage doesn't mention repentance or sin. There's no judgment of her by Jesus, although I think we misunderstand judgment. Anytime I come face to face with God, I quickly see the gap between what God calls me to be and who I truly am. That's a necessary discernment called judgment. God's judgment is always mercy and love. This story stresses conversation and relationship, not punishment. Someone said we are only as sick as our secrets. I've learned over time that secrets and shame are closely, strongly connected. The longer we keep our worries private and hidden, the more likely they'll grow and erode our spirit. But we can open the dark to the light by telling someone who cares about us, just one person, who we really are. In this conversation, Jesus offers this woman living water as he acknowledges her as she is. She is fully known and fully loved, and Jesus sees beyond her faults and her past. He sees her gifts, her future. Her living water comes in the form of a new job, actually. Jesus makes her an evangelist. The grace of being fully known and fully loved changes her. She drops her water jar because maybe now she's not thirsty. She runs back to the town, right into the people she avoided and feared, and she tells them the good news. I've met a man who's told me everything I ever did, using the same invitation Jesus gave his first disciples. She says, come and see the Messiah. Someone said, it's not the requirement to change, but the freedom to be who she is that makes transformation possible. Now, Lent is self-reflection time, repentance time, and if you're like me, you're always struggling to see your gifts and your faults. Or maybe you're feeling alone or in a deep hurt or a grief or a loss, or you're worried about the unknown, simply struggling to see yourself as a beloved child of God. In the end, that is the only label that really matters. God's love comes first and declares that we're all worthy and cherished. But the grace of being known and loved by Jesus grows when it is shared. And that's one of the reasons we come to church, to be refueled and refocused and set free to love, to encounter others and God and be reminded no matter what, we are loved eternally. In her book, An Altar in the World, writer Barbara Brown Taylor writes about a spiritual practice of encountering others. It reminded me of this story. It is the practice, she writes, of coming face to face with another human being and at least entertaining the possibility that this is one of the faces of God. No special setting, no personal trainer, no expensive equipment required. It can be done anywhere. The next time you go to the grocery store, try engaging the cashier. You don't have to invite her home for lunch. Just look at her face. Here is someone who exists even when she's not ringing up your groceries. Just meet her eyes, see her. Not as someone we can use or change or fix or help or save, but as a unique child of God, and neither of you will ever be the same. Well, yesterday I surrendered my groceries to a young man to be carried to my car. That is not my usual way. But I listened to him as he tried to tell me about the weather and wished me well. He tried to connect, and I tried to connect back, and my heart relaxed. It's small, it's a baby step, but it's a step. Someone said, the Messiah is the one in whose presence you know who you really are, the good and bad of it, the all of it and the hope of it, and he shows you who you are by showing you who he is. On any given day, we might walk into him, just like she did, when we least expect it, and he will be always ready to give us living water. Let us pray. O God, who declares your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of your grace that we, running to obtain your promises, may be made partakers of your holy treasure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.